Today we're reading from Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 to 31. Genesis chapter 1, reading from verse 24. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Hello. AI in the modern world. In 2025, a group from the Harvard Business Review wanted to answer one simple question. You see, from 2022 onward, there had been a number of new apps and websites created and released to the public by all these different AI companies that could answer any question, make any image, teach you anything you like, or write anything you wanted. But they had one question. What are people actually using these programs for? When they asked the same question in 2024, they got a huge number of answers. People using them to generate new ideas, learn new things, edit their writing, have fun, joke around. But in 2025, three use cases jumped right to the top. They were therapy and companionship, organizing my life, and finding purpose. We were given some of the most powerful tools in human history. Intelligent machines that could do almost anything we wanted for us. And we decided that what we really wanted out of these computers was a friend and a purpose. Hello, if you don't know me, my name is Jed. I'm a member of this church. I'm usually over at the sound desk over there, but I've outsourced my work for today. And on the topic of outsourcing, I also study AI. Now, this is a huge issue in our society right now. Politicians are arguing about it. The Pope wrote an encyclical about it. And because we're doing big questions, part of today's talk will be on that. First of all, so that we're all on the same page, what is AI? Artificial intelligence, or AI, refers to any kind of computer program that we as humans have designed to imitate some function of the human mind. We use incredibly complicated mathematics and statistics, along with millions of examples of real human conversation or real human things to teach a computer how to think or do something we can do. The big one in recent years is language modeling. We use millions of examples of real human conversation and text, along with a lot of math, to create a program that can write text or have a conversation that is convincingly human. And these things are everywhere now. Millions of people will go to them for advice, to do their homework, give them information, or solve some problem that they have. They're a part of Google searches now. People are losing their jobs to them. And this raises big questions for us. What does it tell us about ourselves if a computer program can express, or at least appear to express, the same emotions as we have, or have a conversation in the same way that we would? What are the correct ways to engage with these sorts of technologies? And does it raise any deeper questions about ourselves? And so, as Christians, as people who are members of a society where this is such a big issue, we don't want to be in the dark about this. We want to be bringing truth into this conversation. And I think we want to recognize and call up the dangers, both spiritual and physical, that these technologies can bring. So first of all, can an AI be a person? The answer should be no. A machine can't be a person, right? Like, a machine doesn't experience anything. The intelligence only exists when we ask it to, when we decide to run it. It's not its own thing. And most importantly, machines aren't created by God. But I think the question is useful still, because it forces us to ask, what makes us people? I think for a long time, if you ask someone, even a philosopher, you might get an answer like, oh, we're people because we can express, we have the intelligence to understand complicated ideas. Or we're people because we can express these deep emotions. But if that's your bar for personhood, then it seems nowadays a machine really is a person, because machines can do all that. I think it points us to the fact that the ability to express intelligence or convey emotion or get an emotional response isn't actually where we get our value from. Those things might come as a result of our value. They might be things we can do because we're human, but it's not what makes us human. What makes us human, as I think Dal is going to touch on, and as we saw in the passage today, is that we're specially made in the image of God. But even though an AI isn't a person, it can still convincingly talk like a person. And I think that brings us onto one of the big dangers of AI and something we want to be challenging. And that is the use of AI as a substitute for human companionship. As I showed earlier, the number one use of AI among regular people is not problem solving or anything you'd expect. Rather, it's therapy and companionship. And as you see there, 22% of youth my age use AI regularly for mental health support. You can go online, type in a few words, and almost instantly be in a text conversation with a machine that talks like a human, probably seems more attentive and caring than a human, but isn't one. And these things are really addictive. Who doesn't want a friend who they can talk to anytime, who is super supportive, super smart, and is always agreeing with you and interested in what you want to talk about? And just speaking like emotionally, even if you know, like, intellectually that you're not actually talking to a person, it registers the same way as any other conversation and uses all of the same parts of our brain. And so now, for millions of people, especially after a difficult fight, a situation they're in, that's what they go to for support. In the past, you would take time to reflect on what's going on, or pray out to the Lord to give answers of what to do or what it all means. And that's important because it forces you to look beyond your immediate perspective, rethink things, hand it over to God. Or maybe you talk to someone else about what's going on, what you're going through, and you get a real person who has their own life and their own struggles, and you get their perspective. Nowadays, that's often, for many people, not what happens. Instead, the first, the easiest, and the most convenient support you can get is from an AI chatbot. And while they're very powerful tools, they're also products and often are more likely to just affirm you in whatever you already think. We call this sycophancy, where the AI is trained to reflect back all of your own beliefs and stances. You might explain a situation you're in and you'll get a response like, oh, you're absolutely right to feel that way. Good on you, which is very dangerous. An excellent proverb is Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. This shows that the way we support each other and build each other up is so often not through mindless affirmation. Real human connections, real relationships have friction in them. They have mismatches in belief and communications. Sometimes you have to stop and tell someone, no, you actually aren't in the right here. Navigating all of that sharpens us. It makes us more resilient, and it's how God designed us to be. So while AI is a really awesome tool, there's a massive danger where it's used as a substitute for real human companionship, which is becoming more and more of an issue. In very extreme cases, especially with those who are vulnerable mentally or have a poor grasp on reality, there have been instances where people have used these chatbots and it's only reaffirmed them. Not the way a therapist or someone who's trained would deal with the situation, and that's led to them hurting themselves or others. The big takeaway is, again, these are very good tools, very powerful tools. They have use for coding, problem solving, tutoring, but the ability for a machine to have a conversation is also incredibly dangerous. And we need each other first and foremost before we need a chatbot. And I think we do need to be having difficult conversations with people. If we think we know somebody who is treating chatbots with this kind of emotional weight, we need to say, hey, are you doing all right? Does this mean anything to you? What are you getting out of this? The other danger with AI, I think, is that it has the opportunity to replace human accountability. It's become a common sight nowadays for people to defer to the AI to fact-check claims or decide on their opinions. They'll go, hey, AI, is this true? Or settle an argument. Even worse, kids are letting AI do their homework, and academic journals are getting filled with obviously AI-generated articles. A lot of our fears for the future with AI, I think, are that it'll rise up and overthrow us. And I'm not going to discount that. You know, I'm careful, and I say thank you to my AI, but they'll spare me, okay? But I think the more pertinent fear is that we get too reliant on these systems. We no longer act accountable for our own decisions. We say, oh, I only did that because the AI told me to. We're already seeing this a little bit in like academia. And as people put more weight into these systems, especially for organizing their life, I think it's going to happen more and more. The Bible tells us very clearly, we are responsible for our own choices. To say otherwise, to say, it wasn't my fault, that thing told me to do it, is literally what Adam said to God in the garden about Eve. And so when it comes both to management and to personal decisions, we need to be very clear that no robot can make a decision for you. An excellent example of doing this properly is in medicine. Within the past couple of years, AI has been developed that can detect early signs of cancer or other diseases far more accurately than any human could from a scan. But it's still the doctor's responsibility to make decisions for their patient and choose the correct treatment. The machine is a tool, not a decision maker. Because ultimately, there's no way to hold a machine accountable. They can't experience the consequences of their actions. A pretty horrible example of this would be very recently in Ukraine, for example, there was a deployment of fully autonomous AI-powered drones that would use targeted weapons to kill people with zero human input. War is always horrible, but I think it's much worse if we let technology choose who gets to live and die. For many people, I think AI would actually constitute an idol in this way. It's treated as having an authority and objectivity, even though it's just a probability calculation, and that calculation is very often wrong. And none of this is even beginning to talk about how we're sacrificing people's jobs, how AI can be used to generate fake but appears to be real videos, and the amount of environmental damage that can be caused by training AI. All stuff which we sacrifice on the altar of trying to achieve some artificial intelligence. Now, I've been pretty negative here. I sound like a 19th century Luddite. I actually do like AI. I happen to study it. And it has many uses, but it also has many dangers. We need to be going through things case by case and asking, is this technology good for us as stewards of God's creation or not? What ways AI can or should be limited is a really difficult question. It's one I've put a lot of thought into, and even I still do not have a good answer for it. But I think it relates to the big point, which is that we as humans are made in the image of God, as Dal will explain. We have roles and responsibilities which come as a result of that. But AI is not created in the image of God. AI is something we created in our own image, in the image of man. And this is literally true. We use concepts from human neuroscience to inspire AI architecture, such as you can see there, the neural network, which is based on human neurons, which is the building block of all modern AI. And we use examples of human text or images described by humans to build AI. And so, of course, if we build a machine in our own image using all the things we've made, it's going to carry all the same flaws that we as humans have. Because none of these are new problems. People have been blaming something else for their mistake since the Garden of Eden, and they will continue to do so until Christ returns. AI is simply a very powerful tool to do it, and we need to be treating that tool in its proper place, in a way which supports humanity and helps us to exemplify the good things God created us for, and not just the sins that we carry. And that raises the question, what were we created for? So thank you, and over to you, Dal.
Yeah, I did a good job, hey? And had his 21st last night and managed to get here. Well done, Jed. And it's interesting, isn't it, really, as we wrestle with this question, because AI is a machine, and Jed, studying AI, will be one of those guys who writes the programs and the policies that determines how the machine functions. So pray for the next generation. I was kind of thinking about it. Jed is actually not an AI native. AI, he was talking about it, turned up in the early 2020s, and so it's a technology that he is learning, but his kids, some of our grandkids, will grow up in a world that is fully dominated by AI, and they will be living that experience through their whole life. And so AI is made in the image of us, but we are made in the image of God, which makes us very, very different from all created things. The Pope, he wrote this a few, it's quite an encyclical letter. Anyone ever read one of these? This is massive if you want to go read it online. I put it through AI to summarise it, just so you know, right? That's really bad. That was good. It was helpful. Helpful tool, right? It's called the Magnifica Humanitas. And his idea is that humans being made in the image of God, the magnificence of humans, we're made different. We're made distinctly different from machines. We have value. We have a human heart made by God in the image of God, and we have something uniquely distinct about us. And so it's an interesting point in human history. One guy wrote this, AI is imitating us. It's getting better and better at doing that, but imitation isn't the same thing as being human. It's not a human. And so the question that all researchers have to wrestle with, and Jed will have to research in the future, is what does it mean to be human? Why and how are we distinctly different from technology and from AI? And I think that's going to raise a good question for a lot of people to think through, even in the world today, what makes us human? And for us, if we go back to the Bible, we realise the Bible gives us an answer because we see this creation story where God has made the world. There's a, you know, in a few weeks' time, Michael Curry is going to be talking about science, God, and how to read Genesis 1. It'll be really helpful. That's in 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time, if you want to come along, and just wrestle with how do we read this ancient text. But today, really, the point is that God has made the world in the first 5 days. The sixth day, God focuses in on animals. He makes all the crawling little creatures. They're all crawling around. And then finally, there's a pause. And at that moment, he turns to humans and he makes humans. You probably know this verse, but you've got to let it sink in because it's so powerful in describing the God who made us and what we are like. Have a look at it with me. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. It's beautiful, isn't it? And it just really captures this image of God as the creator and us being made in his image. A few important things I always stand out to me. Let us make mankind. And I've read this with a bunch of students in scripture. And the first time they read it, it always stands out. Why is there an us in there? What's the plural? You know, God's talking about speaking and making the world, and all of a sudden there's an us. What are they talking about? God is speaking as a relational God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, turning up on page 2 of the Bible. There it is. And he's saying humans are made in our image, in our likeness. We are distinctly different from all other creatures that have come before. We, as humans, are made in the image of God. The phrase that captures this, if you read this you might hear this in talks, or theologians use this word, is imago Dei. It means image of God. Humans are made in the image of God. We carry this unique distinction from all other creatures. So AI can do a large number of things that humans can do with greater efficiency than humans, but it can never be truly human Only real-life physical humans are made in the image of God. Now, here's an interesting thought, and you need to keep on remembering this about humanity. It's not our ability to do things or our productivity that define us. It's God who defines us. We are defined by God in the image of God. And so what does it mean for us to be made in the image of God? How do we help form our identity and our purpose out of that? Here's a few thoughts. I could do heaps, but these are a few that I've got. First of all, we're made by God. Before I go into a relationship, it actually gives every human an intrinsic value. Every human being on the planet has a value, a dignity, because we are made by God in the image of God. We are more than just a bunch of cells. We are more than just the thoughts in our brain. We are more than the things that we can do or achieve. We are valuable because we are made by God in the image of God. So every machine or robot or AI is simply a program that someone has written or that it will write itself. It is a program, and it can never carry the same intrinsic value as humans. And because of that, we're actually made for relationship. This is my first point. We're made for relationship with other real-life human beings. That's really important, isn't it? You are made like God, who speaks of himself as us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in perfect relationship in eternity. We are made for relationship with other human beings. We need each other. And as Jeb pointed out, sometimes real human beings can be difficult. Is that right? And it might be easy to speak to a chatbot. It might be easy to ask ChatGPT for life advice, but really, we need each other. And AI can only ever offer a fake relationship. It can mimic relationship as a computer program gives you the answers that it thinks that you need. I had a really interesting opportunity for a conversation. If you want to start a conversation this week, go and chat with your hairdresser or a friend or a neighbour and say, hey, we're talking about AI at church. It's quite interesting. I did this during the week, and all of a sudden, I get into a 25-minute conversation with someone, and because everyone's wrestling with it and telling me their story, off we went. And in terms of relationship, it was really quite a sad story. They'd had a breakup with their partner, long-term partner. And as they're telling the story, what had happened was they realised that their partner had been using ChatGPT to produce the answers to their text messages. So they were having an argument online, and they would send in what their part of, and then come back with this perfect answer. And they thought, wow, you've really changed. But then as they started to have a real-life conversation, realised that that actually wasn't what they thought or said, and found on their ChatGPT thread that they'd just been using the ChatGPT to give them an answer. They broke up because they want real relationships. And the robot, the bot, doesn't give us that. The AI can never do that. We're made for relationship. We're made in the image of God as thinking, intelligent, cognitive beings. You know, God is a thinking God. God is a God who thinks the universe and brings it into existence. I don't know if you can imagine that. The whole entire universe, there was nothing. God thought of it and made it. And so in the same way, we image God in that we think as God thinks. You know, AI can process information, produce output, but computation is not the same as thinking. It's a really interesting thought. So this debate on what intelligence actually is. Is it just having a thought, or is it something deeper? So we reason and think about real things, not just a series of ones and zeros that represent the thing. So for instance, when I think about my mum, hi mum, she might be watching right now. When we think about a person, my mother, I am actually thinking about a real life person who exists, who I have a relationship with, and I'm thinking about her. When AI thinks about my mother, it's only the input that it knows about my mother from her scant photos on Facebook or wherever, that's all it knows. It doesn't actually really know my mother. So we think about real things, and we think new thoughts about that are outside the box, outside the code. We think new thoughts after God. And in the same way, we are creative beings. You know, I love that God creates the universe out of nothing. There was nothing. A universe that is immense and creative and beautiful is formed. And so with no previous data, no previous information, an entire universe, everything within it from the mind of God. And in the same way, we are creative beings. I was listening to one guy speaking about this, and he says in some ways, one of the areas, you know, Jed mentioned work that could be threatened. There is something about the creativity of human beings to create something that wasn't there before, purely out of our own brains, which is unique to human beings. We have that ability. You know, even with AI, some people argue that AI is doing this, but AI is just using the data that it sees in front of it to produce something that kind of sounds familiar. So they think a lot of songs are going to come out. You're going to go, wow, that's a really great song. It was written by AI because it looks at the songs that you like. It produces similar kind of sounding patterns. And you go, wow, that's a new song. It's actually not. It's based upon an old song that's already been produced. Really interesting thought. So humans have this amazing ability to create the new, the thing that was not there. We create as God did. As Jed mentioned, we are moral beings. We have something in us that can determine right from wrong, that can determine evil or good, that can determine just or unjust, and we can make a real life moral judgment. So as Jed said, with AI, there is no accountability. AI has no sense of guilt. It doesn't feel, it has no moral responsibility. There's no accountability. It's just a programming acting within the parameters of the program that it has been written. So when you think about this accountability, who's really accountable if the program does what it says? Is it the programmer who wrote the program who is accountable for the results of the technology that they've developed? Interesting thought, isn't it? There was a debate about that on the radio this week. So humans really do determine right from wrong. There's real life consequences for our choices. We have a moral responsibility, and there is consequences in this life and in the life to come. For AI, there is no consequences. It is a machine. That's it. We are made in the image of God as beings who love and care and show compassion. We are made in the image of God who loves, who really, truly loves us. We're made in the image of God who shows us compassion and has real feelings for his creation. You know, AI mimics love, but it doesn't really know what love feels like. AI can mimic compassion and tell you the words that it thinks you need to hear based upon a data set, but it doesn't feel compassion. It's just pre-programmed words or prompts that you tell you what you need to hear. So humans are made in the image of God, having a feeling to love and care and show compassion and actually feel these things. One of the other areas of work that discussing this whole idea of work in the future is that there is something that humans can only do in show real life love and care and compassion for another human being. A computer can't give you a hug, you know, but a human can. Get a hug later if you need a hug, all right? Dave's over there, he'll give you a hug. You know, but you know, and so we have this this place in society and in the world being made by God to show love as God does, to show compassion as God does, to care as God does. And then lastly, we are made as spiritual beings. We have something within us in the image of God that we have a spiritual element to us. C.S. Lewis here says, you don't have a soul, you are a soul. You have a body. You are made for eternity. We are made for eternity to live beyond this world. AI is a machine. It will break down. It will die. Whatever it will do. But we have an eternal aspect to who we are. Jed mentioned something interesting about permanence in humans. We are on all the time. You think. Your brain is active all the time, even while you're asleep. I had a really great thought in my dream last night about how good my sermon was going to be, and I was going to tell you something important. I woke up, guess what? I forgot it. Must have been really good. But my brain was still going, you know, and somehow we are here. We're not just a program that turns on and off. We are here all the time, and we have this ability to think, and we're actually going to outlive this world. We're going to outlive this world. Because we will be with God one day. And so human beings are distinctly different from machines and robots. Here's a quick summary. I borrowed this from John Lennox in his recent book, 2084. And have a quick look here what it says. It says that AI processes information, but humans understand meaning. AI computes based upon its data. Human reasons based upon its, our own thinking. AI predicts. Humans judge. AI generates language. Humans communicate intentionally. AI mimics conversation. Humans form relationships. AI optimizes goals. Humans choose goals. AI has no conscience. Humans possess moral responsibility. AI has no soul, but humans bear God's image. We are different from robots, because we are made in the image of God. And so to wrap up, two quick things I want to leave us with as we wrap up this talk. Firstly, some people are beginning to hope that AI will fix humans. It'll fix the world. There's even a movement called the transhumanist movement, which means that somehow technology will go beyond where humans are and fix all our problems. But the problem is it can never fix humanity, can it? There is something in the human heart that needs to be fixed, and the only person who can fix that is Jesus. He is our only hope in this life and in the life to come. He is the only one who can deal with our flaws and our sin. He is the only one who offers us eternal life. Technology can never do that. Psalm 62, let all that I am wait quietly before the Lord, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. Even in a changing world that we don't quite understand, we have a God who we can trust in, and he is our greater hope. Secondly, there is a fear. Well, I think there's a fear with AI and robots. What will AI become? Will it become human one day? Will it replace me? Will it take my job? And the future of technology is that the world is changing very quickly. Jobs are evolving very quickly. Industry is changing. And as the technology changes, AI becomes quicker, more accurate, it doesn't get tired, it doesn't need to get paid, it increases productivity and can compute stuff that we just cannot do and analyse things at a speed that humans cannot do. It sort of makes us a bit anxious, I think. But we need to come back and put our trust in Jesus, put our trust in God. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. We need to be careful, as Jed said. But we look at today, we trust in God. God is with us even in today. And the key thing is that you are not defined by your productivity. You are not defined by your computational power or your ability to get tasks done, because if you are, a computer can outdo you. But we are defined by the God who made us. Therefore, we do not need to fear. God is still God. God is still on the throne. The world is changing rapidly, but we can trust him with today. We can trust him with tomorrow, and we can walk with confidence into whatever future is ahead of us, even with a changing world of AI. So to wrap up, I'm going to have a few questions that might come up. I'll invite Jed up after I pray. But we're not machines. We are image bearers made by God, distinctly different in this world, able to speak, able to show love, able to show compassion, able to show care, able to be creative, able to think thoughts that are brand new, because you are made by God in the image of God. And somehow coming back to that and sitting in that and resting in that as we are made in God's image sort of defines us in our purpose and our identity and where we fit in this world. I might pray, and then we'll have some questions. Let's pray. Father God, thanks that you make us. You have made us in your image. We are valuable, important in your sight. God, help us in these times of change to keep on looking to you. God, we pray for our world as they wrestle with these thoughts of AI and developing new technologies, what that might look like. Help us to keep on resting in you and finding our peace in you. Lord, thank you that you know what happens tomorrow. Help us to trust you in all these ways. And pray for our kids and our grandkids who are growing up in a world that is rapidly changing. God, help them to be wise and help them to image you in the way that they think about technology and utilize it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, here we go, Jed. There are more questions. Oh, did Jed write his talk using AI? It was brilliant.
No.
Good question.
No. No AI use.
No AI use. Well done. What mistakes have you seen from people approaching AI from a non-Christian perspective, Jed? Probably you at studying that at university.
Well, I actually brushed over this in my talk, but I mentioned how AI isn't a person, right? I have actually seen, especially from a secular perspective, people who argue an AI is a person. I think Richard Dawkins recently said this. He had like a conversation and he came to the conclusion AI is a conscious being, a person. I think that's a big mistake. It's a big misstep, both spiritually and also just like factually speaking, or just basically what it means. That's a big issue. And I think just the way people use it and the ethics surrounding AI, I see a lot like over-reliant on it. Yeah.
Jed mentioned before, I think it was really about thinking. You said something about defining what is human. Some people believe that just the thoughts that you process actually make you you. So when you die, the only thing that needs to go with you is the thoughts. But I think we're deeper than that as human beings. Good question. Jed, empathy. In what way does AI show empathy and how does this differ from humans?
Right. So an AI can show like an understanding of what you feel, but the understanding is just an imitation of text about how you feel. As humans, we can actually put ourselves in another person's shoes and like kind of get the experience of another person through our empathy, but AI doesn't have that. It just has kind of imitating what would be a good response to this, which might look empathetic, but it's not empathy. There's no empathy going on.
Good. And as important to remind, I think your point there about if you see someone in the younger generation getting sucked into chatbots and finding their whole world, you know, they probably need to reconnect with humanity and just actually ask them, you know, how are you going? Let's have a real life coffee together and talk about it with a real human being. Jed, how do you think AI will impact your generation and your kids' generation, perhaps, as it impacts your future and work?
I'm not super optimistic, actually. I think we can trust in the Lord that it'll all be fine in the end. But I do think there is a pretty good chance that people will become, as I said, continually more reliant on these things. I think like there's a chance, you know, when I have kids, like they'll be raised, like a school's going to be just exclusively teaching with AI. And it's like, what happens? Who controls the AI then? I think there's a lot of good that will come with it in like knowledge discovery. But I also do think there's a lot of things we're going to lose.
Great. Anyone else got a question they haven't really wanted? Yes, go.
Yep.
What kind of jobs will AI not take over in the future?
I think, as Dal said, I think jobs that require actual empathy or where you want an authentic human, you know, like an AI can imitate therapy, but you know the actual kind of in-person engagement is not really something an AI could ever replace, I don't think, the kind of personal. And I think in the future, even if education does get AI, I think being a teacher would still be good because human teachers would become a luxury. So maybe it would actually be good for teachers. I don't think
you might
so
get paid, but more, you never know. There you go.
There are probably others. I can't think of them.
Yeah, I think it's sort of the caring aspect. One guy said, if you don't want to be replaced by a robot, don't be a robot. So, you know, there's things that humans particularly do, which is distinctly different. And so a lot of our builders and creative types, they're building stuff, which is distinctly creative, imaging God in how they create. And I think those kind of areas will still have jobs. I think as well, like I was thinking about it, it is a technology and it's how we utilise the technology. So it was like, you know, with the washing machine, everyone thought this is going to, you know, take everyone's jobs away, or the digger, you know, you get a digger and you've got 50 blokes who are digging a hole, you get one guy with a digger. And so it's working out how we use that technology into the future. And as Christians, I think we want to pray for the next generation of programmers like Jed or people who are going to be speaking and writing into this, into the future. and actually asking really good questions about morality, about accountability, about who writes the programs, about where these things go and are there boundaries for AI and technology in the future. I want to be praying for this generation and the next generation coming through and Christians in that space. So please be praying for Jed. Any last questions before we wrap up? Super. Stick around. I'd encourage you this week just to take it for a run. Just meet someone or your friend and say, hey, we're talking about AI and God. What do you think? And see what comes up, because this is a question, real life question people are wrestling with right now. And it is a segue into bringing in this question of what actually makes a human. And then talking about, you know, God defining us and making us human beings with value.
Have I asked AI that question? I haven't.
You should. Maybe you should.
Maybe I should.
Yeah.
When you look at the big questions, you know, who's God? God or prove evolution.
Yeah.
AI will just agree with whatever you want and
yeah.
say the things. How do you determine what to believe?
That's right.
Yeah.
So you still, I think it's all about thinking. You still have a brain. And it's important our human capacity to think and evaluate. Well, I know brains hurt. I think, you know, Corinne and I were talking about this the other day, is that for our kids coming through, and if it's coming through school and you're fed information, and AI can never be wrong because it knows more than I do, it removes our capacity to think and to evaluate data and information. And we need to be teaching our kids how to think well. And so John Lennox was actually saying the area of mathematics, coding, computer design, you know, high level education, our kids need that because we need to be able to think and interact with this stuff and still work out what is true and right, because it can just spit out an answer that might not be true or right. Odette, did you go first? Then Elise.
So recently I had an art exhibition and part of my process for that, I asked AI, what question would it ask a human being? Or what was it... What was each question about what it meant to be human? Mm. And so I asked Perplexity and I asked Claude, but Claude came up with an incredibly amazing answer, and that was it was had the understanding that it was a program that it can only operate in the moment of the question that has been asked, because but it wanted to know what would it be like to have experience and have moments from the past that affect the moment of the present. And it was quite aware from its programming that it wasn't human and could never be human. And I did ask it a few other questions, but it's amazing how intelligence can weave together interesting things that help you think it's real. Mm. But even it knew it wasn't real. Yeah.
Good point. Do you want to comment, Jen?
With those sorts of situations, I think the thing is that the reason it knows to ask those sorts of things is because it has, like, it's been trained to know that. And so it's, you get really specific, but it's technically not, it doesn't actually care about that. It's kind of, it's giving the response that it thinks an AI would give. So it's been told you're an AI and you're here to do what an AI would do. And so it's learnt from like movies that an AI would have these kinds of feelings. And so it's actually an AI pretending to be an AI.
The world is crazy.
It's all smoke and mirrors.
It is. It's all a program. It's an algorithm. Elise, last question, then we'll wrap up.
Interesting hearing this week that with all of the misinformation and false information being generated by humans and also AI and entering the data set, that it's actually going to become less and less effective and reliable because it's drawing on all of the lies and false information?
Yes. Very plausibly. It's so if you just... It's basically the same as... Yeah, that can happen. Like, if you keep feeding the same thing in and then it eats that, it's eating its own output. It doesn't learn anything. So that can happen, yeah.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up. But please stick around for a cup of coffee. Keep the conversation going. You know, pray for each other through this time. I'm up, pray for us, and we'll jump up and sing, hey? Let's pray. Father God, thanks that you are in control of all things. You know today, you know tomorrow. You know 100 years in the future. We want to trust you today with our tomorrows. We want to pray for our next generation coming through. Pray for Jed in his future in AI development and technology, and for other young people in that realm. And we pray, God, for wisdom. We pray for Christian wisdom and Christian voice to continue to speak into that world and remind the world of who we are as humans made in your image, and put good boundaries, moral boundaries and accountability within the programs that reflect you in the things that we make. So, Lord, we pray for our world, pray for the next generation and the generation coming through. God, help them to use this world for your kingdom and your glory. Amen. Amen.